All your favorite CBC podcasts are now available on YouTube. The best in award-winning true crime investigations, hilarious comedies, vibrant pop culture conversations, and even more audio series are all available on CBC Podcast's YouTube channel. You'll also find exclusive video first episodes, YouTube shorts, and behind-the-scenes content from our hosts and producers that you can't find anywhere else. So if YouTube is your go-to source for podcasts, just search CBC Podcasts and hit subscribe, and you'll never miss the latest update.
This is a CBC podcast.
I don't know. Do you guys feel like you can execute on a without being comedic? You know what I mean? I feel like you guys can't even.
Yeah, I think so.
You can suppress your comedic tendencies.
I don't know if I can. I mean.
No.
That's comedian Ronnie Chang talking to us about horror and comedy. He'll be joining us a bit later. But for now.
Do we want to, like, be far? I just don't know the geography of this place. Do we want to go up, like, right over here?
Yeah, I mean, I think towards, like, the taller guys, the taller tombstones, because they're a bit older. What do you think?
Remember a few weeks ago when we went to a graveyard to try out a Ouija board? Well, we're back, baby.
Here we are.
This time, it's to tell ghost stories.
Oh, great, there's a murder of crows. Awesome.
We gave ourselves the assignment to write our own campfire stories and tell them to each other. Why? Well, because this season, we're going to have to not only write a short horror film, but actually make it, and make it scary.
We're here in the graveyard. It's late at night, the spookiest time of day. Mm-hmm. Shall we tell each other scary stories that we've come up with?
Yeah.
Do you have one, Mark? Do you want me to go? Mine is pretty half-baked.
Well, why don't you go?
Okay.
Now, Ryan,
yeah.
I want you to scare us with this story.
It's a ghost story. Straight up.
We're in a scary place.
This happened to someone in my building. This is true. Okay. It's totally true. The building I live in, the Alderwood Apartments, the old manager, his name was Igor. He's a terrible man. He was a terrible man. He was known as a terrible hulking man. Everyone hated Igor. He was toxic. He did nothing for the building. He was a bad landlord. He smoked too much. He drank too much. And he never fixed anything. Well, my neighbors, they've since moved on to a new apartment building, but they lived there for many years. Sally and Jeff. When they first were married, they were a young couple. And Jeff had a new job at sort of a long hours. Film industry. Long hours. He's out of the house, and they had twin babies, and Sally was on mat leave, so taking care of the children. But they just moved into the Alder, and she was excited because loves to cook. There's a gas range, but the gas range doesn't work. So then she goes to Igor, and she demands that it gets fixed. Igor says no, and it becomes kind of this battle back and forth. He's like, you know, Igor's scary. People don't like going to Igor. Igor's this hulking behemoth of a man. So scary. But she's not to be trifled with. She's, you know, she's going to get this stove fixed over and over again. Eventually, this is like running with Igor. She feels a little bit threatened, and he goes like, "I fixed that stove over my dead body." And so the hair's kind of stuck up in the back of her neck, and she's like, "Okay, that's weird. It seemed a little bit, you know, a little too far." So, goes home. Making dinner on the broken stove. One of the ranges doesn't work, and she has her babies near the stove. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the range that doesn't work flames up, and she just reaches her baby in time. And then the lights flicker and the lights go down, and she's bathed in darkness, and there was a big flame and a big fire, and she feels this presence. She feels this like presence like looming, as if someone's like staring right through her, like staring into her soul. She doesn't know what's happening. It's as if the room got even darker, and then like lights come back on. She's terrified. It was almost a fire, but the stove seems to be, you know, fine. And then her husband comes home from a film set. He's art director or whatever. He comes home, and he's like, "What's going on?" And she explains everything, and they go to the stove, and it's like, "Well, it seems to be fine now, and the lights seem to be working now, but you know what? That's enough. Let's both go down to Igor and demand something be done." They go down, and they knock, knock, knock on Igor's door, and then other guy opens up who looks a lot like Igor. It turns out it's Igor's son, and they're like, "Where's Igor? We want to talk to him right now." And they go, "He had a stroke an hour ago. He's dead."
That was Ryan's story, and there's something you may have noticed.
When they first were married, they were a young couple, and Jeff had a new job at long hours.
Giggling. Constant giggling. Like we wouldn't stop giggling. And we keep going, telling stories.
Okay. I came up with this one.
Okay. Are you going to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
But no matter who is telling the story, there's giggling.
I was camping with my husband and his family in a small lake in New Mexico.
Snickering.
Thank you. Money's on the table. And he goes off.
Laughter.
He like has a heart attack and keels over. Or stroke. Hard to tell.
This is a problem. We're supposed to be scaring each other, but instead we're just cracking each other up.
How did you feel telling your stories?
Silly, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because horror and comedy, like, there are sort of similar sort of responses.
All I wanted to do was be funny. And
I was trying really hard to be serious.
Are we going to have to completely change our attitudes in order to succeed in horror?
We couldn't even scare each other in a graveyard.
Yeah. Or are horror and comedy so close that a minor adjustment here and there will get us on the right path?
I'm just going to maybe challenge myself a little bit, see how serious I can take it.
Well, thank you both for coming out to this cemetery.
Thanks for having me.
Are you yawning?
Today on the show, laughter is the best medicine, but murder is the most deadly sin. We're talking comedy and horror. It's Let's Make a Horror. 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 Let's make a horror.
Well, didn't Jordan Peele say that horror and comedy are the same coin because it's you know, different sides of the same coin because it's set up punchline? Mm.
We've heard this comparison before. Horror and comedy are similar. They both create an expectation and pay it off. They create tension and release. Depending on the kind of movie, that release is either a laugh or a scream. So today, we're talking to someone who's been in both worlds, comedy and horror.
This is Ronnie Chang. I'm a stand-up comic and wannabe actor, writer, I think. It's probably the best description.
I've known Ronnie for a while. He was in a TV pilot I made a few years ago.
Yo, what are we doing here? This is a sinking ship.
Guys, come on. This is not a sinking ship, Ronnie. This is a cool submarine.
You know Ronnie from The Daily Show and Just for Laughs, as well as the 2023 horror movie Megan, about a robotic doll that goes haywire and starts killing people. And Ronnie's death is the most iconic scene in the movie, in which Megan does a weird TikTok dance.
Megan?
Pulls out the blade of a paper cutter and chases Ronnie down the hall of the office.
What are you doing?
No! No!
First of all, how do you get a role? I'm an actor too. How do you get a role like that in Megan? How do you do that?
Do you want the real answer? Or you want like
yes, yeah, so I want the
inspiring.
Real
you want
answer.
The inspiring. You want the inspiring answer, or you want the real?
No, I want the real.
You want the inspiring one. You guys can't okay. handle the real. Yeah.
I for sure want the inspiring one.
Yeah.
Was it an essay competition or something?
Yeah, the inspiring one is you get kind of lucky with someone having a cool project and then happen to come across your work and then you have a meeting with them and then they like, you know, you guys vibe on the call. And I was lucky to meet like a true artist in Gerard Johnston, the guy who directed Megan. He's a true artist in the sense that, you know, doesn't care about social media, doesn't really care about commercial work, I think. Mm. Very much his own vision, and he likes to a filmmaker in the truest sense of it, you know, not doing for the likes, I think. And so he hired me, who, you know, I don't think I was his best or first option, but I guess, he was willing to go with me, even though not the biggest profile or whatever. And I was lucky, you know, they wrote a role that wasn't that you could be Chinese and it didn't matter. You know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't race specific. So I'm lucky that they didn't like have in their head, they wanted a certain type of person. They were willing to kind of open cast it. And that's kind of how, that's the inspiring version of it. Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful story.
Now you want the real, do you want the real?
Yeah, let's get the real now. Yeah.
The real one is you need to build enough profile in American show business where you get onto people's lists of people they'll take a look at. That's the real answer. I mean, there's no, you know.
Yeah.
And how you get on that list, there's multiple ways, you know. I think the way that feels the best is when you're just kind of making cool stuff and people like it. And then the cynical ways you ruthlessly pursue profile at the expense of everything and everyone around you, including internally and externally. And you can climb high enough up that list using whatever means, whatever platforms at your disposal. And then they need someone who has, you know, a million likes on Instagram and they hire you. That's the ugly version of it. But it's not all ugly. Let me put it that way. It's not all ugly. So
yeah,
let me add some inspiration at the end of the reel.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Your character and the scene in your death scene are completely iconic now, like in the horror world.
I don't know if.
I mean, it is like it's because she does the dance and then kills you. Like it's
yeah. And that was actually the first scene we shot.
Yeah, I read that. Tell us about that.
So first day we go shoot. I meet Amy for the first time. She's great.
Amy Donald is the girl who plays Megan.
Always a smile on her face. Mm. The nicest little girl ever. Just happens to be a movement prodigy. You know, that was the first day, and you know I'm just trying to. Make sure I act as believably scared and running and, you know, and actually he told me to slow down the run. So this might be relevant for your movie. Mm-hmm. He said he couldn't capture the run. It was going too fast. Not that I'm that fast, but because I'm trying to feel scared. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'd be running for my life, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd be like knocking into walls when I'm running, I'd be slipping, I'd be doing all that. So I'm trying to do all that. And finally, he goes, you know, the director goes, you know what? You got to keep running like that. We can't lose this energy. So he made the camera guys adjust to the run.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So cool. Initially, it was like, hey, like slow down to a jog. And I was so scared of like, I don't want to be unbelievable in this. You know what I mean? I don't want to be like jogging. So I just want to run at full speed because it's, you know, that's what I would do. And so they kind of met me. On my, you know, or what? I mean, I would have done what if they had told me to slow down, I would have done it. But like, he just kind of liked what he saw with the fast running. So if you in your horror movie, if you have people running fast, you know, it's something to consider.
Yeah,
because running fast is actually very hard to capture.
Totally. But
if you run slow, it doesn't look right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that the running away from your monster is or whatever your horror movie becomes is a factor.
Was that your first death on screen?
No, I've actually died in almost every project I've been in.
Awesome.
I'm waiting for a montage, but I've died in like at least four times, I think.
Wow.
In projects. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about like bloody scenes? Like did you watch movies like that?
Well, we didn't ask you. Do you like horror? Are you a horror guy?
I'm actually not a horror guy. I'm too scared to watch it. Mm. So I can't really appreciate it. I mean, I don't think I'm a film snob, but the horror movies that I managed to watch are the ones that are not too gory. Mm-hmm. So like Get Out. Mm-hmm. It's just a gore thing for me. I'm not even turning my nose up at horror films. It's just gore. I don't like gore. I don't like excessive violence. So for me, it doesn't do it for me. So interestingly enough, when you're doing this, when you're in the moment filming, you don't really think about it. So it's much more digestible when you're acting for some, you know, in it, when you're in it. I mean, part of it is because the super gory scenes, when you're in it, there's a lot, you know, there's like a doll, there's puppeteers, you have to really be in the zone. You have to really imagine, you know, to stay in the moment. You know, you really have to focus. It's like doing green screen, right? You have to really pretend that you ignore everything else and focus on what you think is happening. But like when you're watching it, obviously you don't see any of that, so it's much more scary.
Yeah,
because it's more like, oh, totally. Damn, this is yeah. But when you're in the when you're acting in the moment, it's like, you know, it's a lot of single coverage, and it's like 1, 2, 3, you know. So it's like it's so not technical. You're not doing shit. You're not doing like a scene where it's like a long scene where you end in this sudden death that you know. You don't get to stay in the moment that long when you're doing film. So you know, all the gore is very kind of contained in the moment, and you know, so
yeah. And I know you're a very smart person, very multifaceted artist.
Well, I don't know about that,
but as a comedian though, like in working on these like kind of ridiculous when you pull out situations, do you ever find it like funny that you're doing this kind of stuff?
I think it's cool, and I kind of keep it to myself, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to think I'm not taking it seriously.
Right.
So I just try to be professional, and like anything which I find this is ridiculous, I try to. But because the things that I find ridiculous are more that I'm doing it, not that the idea or the execution is dumb. Is that, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is mm-hmm. you know, I tell dick jokes in bars, and now I'm. getting killed by a doll. So, but that's a meta thing, right? So you try to keep it to yourself because no one can understand what you're saying. If you try to explain why you're laughing,
crazy. Yeah.
But like for your movie, like how you guys thinking about doing the practice? I'm assuming you guys want to do more practical effects, right?
For sure.
You were to do a horror.
Yeah, and I think we're like you, like we're not super attracted to a bunch of gore. So I think we would probably lean more towards something more psychological horror or something like that.
okay.
You know what? You don't think we can pull that off?
No, it is psychological. Like, oh, my in-laws are coming. I don't know. What's the psychological horror that would in your life? That, the interesting thing about the Megan was how self-aware it was. So that's something you guys might consider in yours because... You know, I think Gerard Johnstone, I mean, he doesn't come from comedy in the way we understand it, but he's very comedic in how he writes his screenplays. And so he put a lot of jokes in there. Sorry, not that he wrote it. Akila wrote it, but then Gerard would obviously, you know, add to it a little bit. But like the whole story of Megan, there's a lot of jokes in it. So it it's a very self-aware horror movie, which I think is the most interesting thing about that particular project, is that we all know the doll is going to kill people. You know, I mean, that's not the surprise. We all know it's going to, you know, so how do you surprise people? In this case, it's kind of being wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, this thing is silly. And but you know, that fine line between being, you know, acknowledging it, but also not being too meta with it. Where people get out of the story, and so that's something for you guys to consider. You know, how self-aware you would want your psychological thriller to be. Like, does your movie know that it's a movie? You know that
right,
which is a very hard layer to hit. You know, like.
Yeah. So, how many little jokes and winks and nudges will our horror film have? Is that the vibe we're going for? How self-aware is this movie going to be? That's coming up.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl. Let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
So, we know what our movie is about. We've told you before, a disgraced movie director, played by Ryan, drives off to his agent's cabin in order to escape the spotlight and sober up. There's a caretaker neighbor, played by Maddie, who is checking in on him. And then a calm and patient monster, played by me, shows up
and tries to get through the sliding patio door. We're writing it, directing it, starring in it, and right now, I guess we're producing it. We want to get to the heart of what Ronnie was talking about, the vibe of the whole thing, the self-awareness, maybe even the comedy. But we need to start small. So we start with this question. What do we have? Okay, we are going to be making a film that's going to take place, what we think to be, in a cabin, probably. We don't have a script yet. There's a monster. There's another character walking dogs. It's in a scenic area. Maybe a car. We want to decorate the cabin. What do we have at our disposal that we can probably source? This is a probably list. Doesn't have to be 100%.
Nice.
But we want things that we think we can get for free or close to free.
Does anyone have a cabin?
Yeah.
Maddie
doesn't
have
a sliding door.
Okay, but Maddie, tell me about your cabin.
My cabin is 1.5 rooms, and it's cool. It's got wood paneling.
Great. Yeah. It looks like a cabin, and it's yeah. I also have a lead on a 3-season home. It's a cabin on Bowen. Very beautiful. It's a friend, so it'd be an ask, and it's not 100%. But it does have a sliding door. I think it'd actually be perfect.
Mm. On Bowen Island.
On Bowen Island, nice. Yeah.
I have a beautiful quilt.
Great.
That looks like it would be in a cabin.
I have 2 dogs. If we do the neighbor walking a dog, I'd love to feature one of my dogs.
Or both.
Or both.
We don't know, but presumably there might be some a bloody effect. There might be, do we know any makeup people? Do we have any kind of
No.
I can do a really good winged eyeliner.
Nice.
And leg contouring, but not underpainting. I don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to write that down.
Will there be any blood? Will there be any blood and gore or goop?
I'm down to blood, gore, and goop.
No. What if the monster's there and he doesn't let him in the first time, mm-hmm. the time we think it's a nightmare, and then blood starts coming down the whole patio door, and then when he wakes up, the guy's gone, there's no blood. So it was obviously a nightmare because...
But there's still a bit of goop on the door. It's weird. Some weird goop on the door.
Or a drop of blood.
Yeah.
We have... Yeah, if we have nightmare, we have carte blanche for just crazy imagery, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Which is fun. We could even do a whole other he wakes up and then we see the monster looking in through the window when he wakes up, but then he goes away. maybe he vomits black onto the patio.
That's awesome. Do you have anything going on inside your mouth as a monster, Mark? Do you have fangs
I did weird offer goop? like spitting out a whole bunch of black inky stuff. Crazy rotten teeth. I mean, a mouth is a great thing to have something go on because you can close your mouth and open it. And you can reveal it.
It's true. It's a funny sentence.
Yeah.
He closes this guy's mouth and eyes. You can take him anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So he is he believes that perhaps he hallucinated the guy or something because he wakes up.
Or it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he wakes up. He's like, oh, gosh. And then maybe that next day when it's nice, we build the tension. Maybe we don't see anything, but we create he could have a quick moment where he looks in the mirror and he's kind of splashing water on his face and his eyes are black. Very
cool.
He looks up and rubs his eyes and they're not. Oh, there must have just been some black in my eyes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He could be detoxing more actively as well.
Yeah. And he's drinking tea, kind of has the shakes.
He's in physical pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does that look like?
If we do it on Bowen Island, he can be in the water, emerging.
Kendall Roy style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody have anything that they think should be in a horror movie and that we can maybe work in?
I have a cane sword. I have a cane that reveals itself to be a sword. So you think it's just a cane with a cobra head on top of it. That's a normal thing to see someone walking in the street with. Then an altercation takes place. You whip out the sword and, it's a concealed weapon.
Okay. Ryan's cane sword. Maddie, anything?
I have an apron. It's kind of creepy.
Creepy apron.
Creepy apron.
Okay. Can you describe how it's creepy?
Just who wears an apron anymore,
Just in itself is creepy. Okay.
It's kind of kitschy. What are we going for the vibe of the cabin? Here are the vibes you can have for your cabin. Kitschy. Mm-hmm.
creepy because it's modern. Why'd you make it modern? Mm. Airbnb style poster on the wall that says you can dance, trust me, vodka. Bachelorette.
What if it has, those are all great things. What if it has a Bachelorette, yes. So the monster has black eyes. Do we know anybody who does contact lenses, specialty contact lenses?
But I think we could get some party contact lenses, you know.
Or Sharpie. Sharpie the eyes.
Yeah. But no, I don't know anyone or have access to
What do you think they're wearing?
Costumes, yeah.
Like my character's probably wearing like bikini top and little shorts and like high heels.
Can you have big hair? Do you have any of those things?
Yeah, I have all those things.
Do you have a bikini top?
Yep.
And little shorts? Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Could my character have no fingernails?
I would love that.
Your character should have no fingernails.
Yes.
No, that's a great idea. I know you exactly what you just said, but... No.
Wait, stop everything. I know. Well, Mark, if you were to play this monster with the black eyes... Do you have to? Did something pop into your head with what that monster might wear?
This monster's going to wear clothes.
Oh, you think fully
he's
nude?
He's going to be wearing like a shirt and pants.
Originally, I had naked, nude, fully nude, pressed up against the patio door, like
for some reason, pressed up. I was imagining him like in like a ghillie suit.
Oh,
ghillie suits are very creepy.
They're just creepy in general.
They're very creepy.
Yeah,
it's like those.
A ghillie suit is like a suit with like plants all over it. So yeah, you could
it's
like
a, it's hyper camouflage
type stuff.
3D camouflage.
I didn't imagine him wearing like a tank top and shorts.
No, like, I would think like
I didn't imagine him really like, being a person.
Yeah, it could go many directions. Scales. It's like maybe it's just like a a wetsuit that we like put stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be like something he maybe died in, like zombie style. Maybe it's
a suit.
A very nice like suit. Yes,
tuxedo.
I don't know why I needed to repeat that, like a tuxedo.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really good
bolo tie.
I guess in my mind, I saw something very neutral. So it's all about the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of looks like a guy. Because like in the story that I read, like the kids with all the black eyes, they just look like normal kids, but their eyes are all fucked up.
Mm.
But so it's like, kid, who the fuck is this? He could be wearing a kid outfit.
Oh, like a little spinning hat, a propeller beanie, and culottes.
I feel you'd have that, Mark. A little spinning hat.
I've got six.
What kind of stuff does he like to do at the cabin while he's by himself?
Oh, great. We do want to see him like fishing equipment.
Nice.
Maybe he's a metal detector guy.
I have a fishing pole and a crab trap.
Okay.
Cool.
A canoe, maybe canoes. Anybody have a boat?
No boats.
A crab trap, you say? Crab
something to write on. If he's a writer, maybe like.
Oh, right. Like a laptop.
A laptop or a typewriter. Maybe there's a typewriter in the cabin, you know, like an old one.
That's
he's using. Oh, that he's like just like tip, tip, tap.
I have a typewriter.
Great. Are we done with ideas? Any other thing?
These are all pretty good blue skies. Water skis.
we're not
naming things you want to
do with the cabin.
Yeah.
Tubing.
All right, so we've got some great kind of fresh blue sky ideas. This is such early days, but we know what we're doing, which is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming back, and I'll reach out when I need you.
Thanks.
Okay, so I feel like we're in good shape. I think. We have an idea of what kind of horror movie we're making, and it's probably not very funny, and that's okay. But what about Ronnie Chang? What would he do if he was in our position? You're a writer. What would you do? If you had to make a horror movie?
Today. You have to make it today.
Yeah.
What would I do?
Is there anything that interests you in the horror genre? Like, would you more veer towards like doing like a monster movie? And we'd put Megan in that category, like where there's like a killer, or would you do something that's like...
I don't know. I think for me, I would do more like action horror, you know, where it's more like, fighting a monster or something. That's probably how I would, because then you can put comedy in it and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think like there's a really cool subgenre of Hong Kong Chinese kind of ghost movies, which are basically like wuxia, like... Kung Fu movies, except with ghosts. So there's this whole subgenre of these, you know, this thing that's very popular. So I probably think of that, you know, that kind of that. If I was to do horror, like it'd probably be monster. Then it's you're secretly doing like a kung fu movie, but with monsters. Yeah, right. That's probably how I would do it. And then you probably homage it a bit more to the 80s. You know, that's how I would. That's how I would interpret it. But
what's the subgenre called? What's the?
It's just Hong Kong ghost movies. Yeah, Hong Kong ghost. I don't know what it's called, but it would be like this. You know, I think it's literally called Ghost Story. I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sammo Hung pioneered it.
So okay, well, I'm curious what frightens you though? Like, are there things even real world or spiritual? Like, anything creep you out? Do you have fears?
Yeah, you know those things that you those little rubber adhesives that you stick onto the corners of your cupboard door so that when you close it, it doesn't slam. There's like a bit of like a little rubber circle.
Yeah,
and then when it's too old, it kind of melts a bit and then it starts to like crumble and it's like it starts smudging onto the cabinet door. And then when you open the cabinet door, when it's in a disintegrated state and you're making like coffee and it drops into your coffee,
you're scared.
Yeah, that's what scares me. Yeah. It's like the fear of industrial chemicals. Yeah, because chemicals is like, you don't know what's in anything. And then, you know, you don't want to be giving yourself cancer just because you were trying to keep your cabinets from slamming. And it's such a dumb way to die.
Yeah.
So that's what scares me. Like unknown chemicals in that dropping into my food is what scares me. So I don't know if you can make a psychological thriller about
it. I mean, you could extrapolate from that for sure. You know, like this is like, you know, this isn't. I mean, on the surface, this is about a big snake monster. But what it's really about is
big snake monster.
It's really about the little that rubber goo on your corner. I mean, Megan is really about the dangers of social technology raising our kids. That's so I think like any good horror these days anyway has a good kind of broader social message. I think that's what Get Out kind of taught me, you know, and I'm sure Get Out was maybe influenced by some other social, you know, conscious horror movie. But Get Out for me is the ultimate like, social messaging in a horror movie, right? So I think Megan, that's what attracted me to the script of Megan is that social messaging. There's like a message beyond the obvious, you know, candy that we're seeing here. And honestly, I think that's what people connected to in the movie as well, you know? Because like I said, we all know the doll's going to kill. We know it's going to go ballistic. We know, you know, blah, blah. But what is the bigger, you know, bigger message here? So.
Yeah. Do you think you'll do more horror films, Ronnie? Or are you just kind of doing what appeals to you?
I'm kind of desperate. So I'll do pretty much anything. I'll do anything. I mean, clearly, as you've seen from my IMDb, it's like I will do anything.
So when you were starting as a stand-up, was it in your mind that you were going to be doing a film, like a really great film and TV career, or because you were always writing, right? Like were you
right? I think no, I wasn't. I didn't think of doing that. I didn't think I was good enough to do that. I was very self-conscious. I remember. My very first time even on shooting a TV show that someone let me on, I couldn't even open my eyes to talk to them because I was so nervous, you know? And I'm very lucky that every project I've ever done, everyone I worked with was awesome. And so I've always been able to learn from professional actors and see how they do things. And so learning how to like really get into the moment and... because. If I was just myself, that's not even the solution, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't even be like, I'm just going to be me right here because I'm not even a good enough actor. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even be me. I have to be like some. Yeah. I have to be better than me because if I'm just me, this is going to suck because I'm very monotone and I don't really, you know.
Right.
Like if a dog came to me, I wouldn't even care. You know? So I can't even, If a doll was like dancing, I'd be, I don't even care about this.
Yeah.
You know? I
yeah.
Yeah. Like, go do your thing. I don't, you know, don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm late for a coffee or something. But so I can't even be me, you know, when I'm acting. It's not even like, oh, what would I do in this? I have to be like, what this. Totally. Imaginary person. What would Leonardo DiCaprio doing this? I literally in my head, I'm like, what would a great actor be doing?
Oh, that's smart.
In this. And so so I have to be like how Leo does, how Michael Keaton does it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but then how Salma Hayek does it, you know, which is actually a good comp because one thing about Salma Hayek and Arnold Schwarzenegger for me was like, man, these guys have accents, but they went all the way, right? Yeah. And so I should be less self-conscious about my accent, you know?
Yeah.
Salma Hayek has an accent. She won an Oscar, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that I'm going to win an Oscar, but I'm like, oh, it's possible if you find the right role.
It's possible.
So, you know, with acting, no, I never thought I could do it. I think I'm getting better. I'm lucky that, you know, all the directors always protected me, you know? That's another thing I'm sure you guys will... I mean, who's directing this, your horror movie?
We're going to have to... We've decided that we're going to self-direct it. So I don't know what that means. Is like
by a committee?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, good luck. Yeah. By committee?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
When the barbarians were at the gate, the Romans appointed one. Emperor.
Yeah.
Not a committee.
Not a committee
one.
Of three. I think we should do this. That's an interesting point, but I think we should do this.
Well, good luck.
No, I appreciate that.
It's break a leg. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Ronnie.
Much.
I think we got to let you go.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing the pod.
This is amazing.
No problem.
Thank
I hate podcasts. Yeah.
I can't thank you enough.
No, I love you guys. I hate podcasting. It was I love you guys 1% more than I hate podcasting. Yeah. So the podcasting won out, but
yeah.
But I just for the record, I hate podcasting, and I hope I never have to do this again.
Okay. We're feeling good about where we are at this stage of the process, whether it's a horror movie with a few laughs or one that just slowly turns the screws. But there's one thing Ronnie said that I can't stop thinking about.
I mean, who's directing this, your horror movie?
We're going to have to, we've decided that we're going to self-direct it. So I don't know what that means. Is like
by a committee?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, well, good luck. Yeah. By committee?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Are we all directing it? Is three people too many to direct a movie? How do you even direct a movie? Next time on the podcast, we're going to figure it out. And we're talking to a directing team who are making the upcoming Final Destination movie.
I was like, you know, what if we faked our own deaths while we were pitching?
That's next time on Let's Make a Horror. Let's Make a Horror is a production of CBC Podcasts and Kelly and Kelly, created by Kelly and Kelly. Hosted by Ryan Beal, Mark Chavez, and Maddie Kelly. This episode was written and produced by Dave Shumka and Chris Kelly. For Kelly and Kelly, the executive producers are Lauren Berkovich and Pat Kelly. Associate producer, Rebecca Peng. For CBC, Anna Ashite is the coordinating producer. Jeff Turner is the senior producer. The executive producer is Chris Oak. And RF Narani is the director of CBC Podcasts. Our theme song is by Chris Kelly. Cosmo? Cosmo? Where did this door come from?
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.